And let me invite you to grab your Bible and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Man, I am so blessed to be with you this morning. What a blessing it is to be here, to be blessed by you. And I'm really blessed to be a blessing. You know, blessed to take my blessing and bless others with the blessing that I've been blessed to receive by God's blessing. Isn't that a blessing? Now, have I said the word bless enough yet to cause you to ask yourself, why does that guy keep saying the word bless? Well, if so, then mission accomplished, okay? That was my point. I wanted to attempt to annoy you into paying attention to me. Hopefully it worked. Because this morning we're going to talk about being blessed. But unfortunately, what happens with that word, I think we often trivialize it or overuse it like I do. One of the ways we see this especially is on social media. Yes, on social media where we see that hashtag blessed, right? It's become a common phrase to tack onto a picture, really any picture. So I decided to go to Instagram. You guys on Instagram, I love to see pictures of my friends and family on there. I went to Instagram and I searched the hashtag blessed to see what I might find. And boy, it was interesting. I don't recommend it. But get this, there are 133 million pictures right now on Instagram with the hashtag blessed. And let me just share with you a few of what I found. I saw a dog laying on a beach, hashtag blessed. I saw a guy with huge biceps working out, and no, it wasn't me, hashtag blessed. I saw a guy standing in front of a brand new Mercedes-Benz, also not me, hashtag blessed. I saw about 120 million selfies, hashtag blessed. I saw a baby announcement picture. The couple was holding up their sonogram. It was twins. Hashtag blessed. I saw a girl holding a cup of coffee from Starbucks. Hashtag blessed. I saw cookies and cakes and ice cream and meals and beaches and mountains and other amazing scenery. Hashtag blessed. It was just like full of endless blessings. And I think that illustrates how we often think of God's blessing. We tend to think of the material, the temporary blessings and things that we enjoy, which no doubt those can be blessings from God. My family, my house, my car, having food in my fridge is a blessing. I will even agree that a fresh cup of coffee in the morning, chips and salsa and queso for lunch, and burnt ends for dinner, glory, hallelujah. That is a blessing, right? Amen. There we go. But as followers of Jesus, we know that, man, if all those things were taken away, if I had no home, no food, or even a family, I would still be blessed. Why? Because we know the ultimate blessing we have is Jesus. Through him, there are so much greater blessings in store for me than a sunset picture or a really nice meal. There are blessings that are eternal and unchanging, blessings that no Instagram post could adequately capture. And that's what we're going to see this morning as we continue walking through the book of 1 Peter with this title, hashtag blessed, of course. A series we've established is called Living in Exile because the Apostle Peter wrote to a group of believers that were experiencing hostility in the culture in which they lived. They were not physically exiled, but rather they were spiritually exiled. They were outsiders, strangers, and they were being treated as such. And yet, as we saw, their exile, their spiritual exile, was not an accident. Peter told them that they were elect exiles, meaning God chose them to be exiles. And we said the same is true for us today. If you're a follower of Jesus, that means this world is not our home. We are citizens of heaven. We are members of the kingdom of God. And as a result, we experience difficulty in this life. But we also experience tremendous blessing. And that's what Peter wants to convey to these early believers, and that's what I want to convey to you today. So let's walk through our text, look at two ways that we are blessed, and then we'll end by asking, what does this all mean for us? So look with me now at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Would you please stand with me as we honor the reading of the Word of God? Verse 10. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, and the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Amen. You can be seated. Peter begins this section with the words concerning this salvation. What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about what he just talked about. He's building a bridge from verses 3 to 9 to verses 10 through 12. Remember, I said last week that in the original language of the Bible, that's one big, long, run-on sentence that is so full of stuff. We broke it into 2 weeks. And this gives me a chance to say something that I am going to say until the cows come home. One of the most important things about a Bible text is the context. One of the most important things about a Bible text is the context. The Bible was not written originally in verses or chapters. Those were added later, but it was written as one letter, one book. Peter was writing with a flow of argument. And here in verses 10 through 12, he's building on what he just said. You'll remember from last week, verses 3 through 9, they were all about the living hope we have, an exile's hope we have in Jesus because of what Christ did in the past. We have a future inheritance and we have a present joy. Salvation's not just a one-time pray to prayer, man, I'm good, but salvation actually encompasses our past, present, and future. That is the big gospel. We were saved, we are saved, and we will be saved. We look to what Christ did, we look to now where Christ is, and we look to what Christ will do when he returns. So this is the salvation Peter says he's concerned with, and this is what he says. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully. Who were these prophets? Well, these are the prophets of the Old Testament, guys like Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel. Since they lived before Jesus came to the earth, they prophesied about his future coming. They were pointing to a future Savior called the Messiah, someone who was going to come one day and save his people and make things right again. And this is why Peter says they prophesied about the grace that was to be yours. Here's the first indication we have about the point that Peter's trying to make this morning. He's saying all these guys who we read about in the Old Testament, they were talking about and writing about the grace that you now have. These guys in the Old Testament, they were prophesying about the gospel. And not only did they prophesy, but they searched and inquired carefully. This is really strong language. It's not like, oh, they just kind of like looked around and wondered what was going on. No, they were searching for something intently. It's like when you're looking for something that you lost. Anybody else like me lose this stuff? Keys, wallet, phone? The thing in my house that gets lost the most right now with two little ones walking around is the TV remote. Man, we called it growing up, we called it the flipper. Have you ever heard it called the flipper, channel changer? No, just remote, just me. So it's always missing, right? Never fails. When I want the TV remote, it's gone. So I look intently. I start looking under furniture and flipping over pillows and blankets and toys. And I look in the trash can. And yes, I even look in the toilet because I have a one-year-old. And I'm praying, God, please give me patience while I look. See, that's the kind of intense searching that Peter says the prophets did. But what were they looking for? Well, look at verse 11. They were inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. The prophets were looking for Jesus. And think about it. They'd been given these amazing prophecies of what God was going to do in the future. And so naturally, they're trying to figure out when's this going to happen. They wanted to see this in their lifetimes. So they studied their prophecies they had received. They studied prophecies from other Old Testament prophets, and they pored over these words trying to figure out, when is Jesus going to come? When are we going to see this that the Holy Spirit's told us about? And boy, this teaches us something really, really important about the Bible. Here's what this verse tells us. It tells us that the Old Testament is all about Jesus. This means the whole Bible is all about Jesus. And sometimes we read the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, particularly some more difficult books like Leviticus, you know, that one you skip in your reading plan. I won't tell anybody. And we think, man, what is the point of this? Like, how does this relate to me today? Well, here's the point. Jesus is the point. Every verse, every chapter, every book points us to him. And it's not always clear. It's not always easy. But it's always true. That means we must be careful to read the Old Testament in a Christ-centered way. If we read or study the Old Testament and we don't think about and connect it to Jesus, then man, we miss the point. So often what we do is we try to make the Bible about us. We try to jump right from that Old Testament story into our lives. We say, man, how can I be more like Moses? Or how can I be more like David? How can I slay the giants in my life? How can I take down the walls of Jericho in my way? But here's what we need to understand. The Bible is not primarily about you. The Old Testament is not a book of kids' stories with a nice, neat moral to help you live a better life. So many kids' books and Bibles are written that way. Be good like this person, and be nice like this person, and be faithful like this person. But the Bible is not a self-help manual on how to be a good person. The Bible is about Jesus, period. If we do not get to Jesus and the gospel, then we missed it. If you don't believe me, maybe you'll believe Jesus himself. After Jesus died and rose from the dead, there's a story of him walking on the road to Emmaus with two of his disciples. You remember that? And here's what happened in Luke 24:27. It says this, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, it's the Old Testament, Jesus interpreted to them, these disciples, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. It wasn't the things concerning how to be good. It was the things concerning him. Jesus gives these two guys what I think would probably be like the best Sunday school lesson of all time. A little lengthy. He goes through the whole Old Testament. And he shows them how all the scriptures are about him. This means the Bible is really one big story with one big message. And that message is the gospel. It's the good news about Jesus that his death and resurrection saves bad people like me. And this is what Peter's telling us as well. Notice he says that it's the Spirit of Christ that was in the prophets. Who is the Spirit of Christ? Well, that's the Holy Spirit. Why didn't he just say the Holy Spirit? It's because he wants us to see that the same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus was also in the prophets before Jesus had ever come to the earth. They had the Spirit of Christ too. And the Spirit in them predicted everything that was going to happen with Jesus. Which makes it all the more amazing that people missed it. Like they had the answer key all along. Let me just give you a little sample of what the Old Testament tells us about Jesus. From the very beginning, Genesis 3:15 tells us that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. It's the very beginning of the Bible. The Psalms predict that Jesus would be forsaken by God. He'd be mocked. His clothes would be gambled on. Not a single bone would be broken. Isaiah tells us in chapter 50 through 53 that Jesus would be mistreated, hated, whipped, and even crucified for our sins. The Psalms also tell us that Jesus would not be left for dead, but he would be exalted and his enemies would become his footstool. Jeremiah said that he would be a righteous branch. Ezekiel said he'd be the shepherd of the people. Daniel said he'd be like the Son of Man with an everlasting kingdom. And this doesn't even begin to get into all the different types and shadows that of the Old Testament. So many characters that point us to a king and leader and savior to come. So many events that point us to the acts of deliverance that are going to come in the cross and resurrection. So many verses that speak of God saving and rescuing his people. It's all over the place. So we should read the Old Testament looking for Jesus, thinking, how does this point us to the gospel? That's what the prophets did. That's what they were looking for. And here's what they found. Look at verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, and the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. This is a little unreal, because this tells us that the prophets knew that they were not serving themselves. That word serve, we might also translate that word minister. So the prophets, their ministry, their service, all the amazing things is this. This says they knew it was not primarily intended for them or their family or their generation, but it was actually meant for us, for followers of Jesus. The prophets were serving you. Think about that. A few weeks ago, I went to eat at Culver's with Brother Charlie Losh. Y'all know Brother Charlie? And I learned really quick that Brother Charlie knows every single person in Olathe, including the owner of Culver's. And so we were sitting down there at a booth in the back. We were eating our chicken tenders, right? And the owner of the restaurant, she comes right over and sits down at our table. She starts talking, and just like Charlie's an old friend and joking with us. And then she actually goes and she brings us our ice cream. The owner of the place is serving us. I'm like, man, this is nice. And that's why now I only go to Culver's with Brother Charlie. But see, that's how I think about the prophets serving me. Like, I feel undeserving of that. Like, I should be serving these great heroes of the Bible. But no, it says their ministry ultimately was intended for us. Now, their message was important in their day. It had great significance for those people in that time. There were messages of hope. And Old Testament believers were saved just like you and me by believing in the gospel. It was just they were trusting in what was to come. But it's clear that we have something that the prophets could only dream of. Which leads us to our first big point this morning. Number one, followers of Jesus are more blessed than the prophets. That's a bold statement. But it's true, according to 1 Peter 1. So often we look at the people of the Old Testament, we think, man, if I could just have faith like them. If I could see Moses part the Red Sea, if I could have been there when David slayed Goliath, if I could have been thrown into a furnace and walked out alive, man, do you know how much faith I'd have? No, the Bible makes clear that we should not be looking at the people of the Old Testament and wishing we could experience what they did, but rather they're looking at us, wishing they could experience what we have right now. See, because of where we are in the history of salvation, because of where we happen to be born into the storyline of the Bible, we are the most blessed people to ever live. And this is Peter's point. He wants these believers to see that even in spiritual exile, even though they're dealing with these trials, they have been given an incredible privilege. They are in the most coveted place of all time. And that's true for you too. We are more blessed than the prophets. And to drive this idea home, let me just give you a few things that we have that the prophets didn't. First off, we have the full knowledge of the gospel. As Peter has already said, the prophets of the Old Testament, they knew some about Jesus and his suffering and glory. They knew what was coming, but they didn't fully understand how it all played out. They couldn't fully grasp the wonder of the gospel. For them, it was like looking through a pair of glasses that were fogged up. You know, it's one of the things I've learned from my friends that wear glasses is the past year wearing masks has been really annoying. Because what happens? Your glasses get fogged up, yeah. And everything kind of goes blurry. You might see shapes and outlines, but you can't really see the details that happen to you, Jeremy. Yeah, oh, man, that's tough. But, you know, that's what people before Christ saw of the gospel. They saw shapes and outlines, but they could not have imagined all the details of how amazing Jesus would be. But we can. Hebrews 1:1-3 says this. It says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But get this. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. We know all about Jesus and how significant it is, whereas Old Testament saints put their faith in what was to come, we put our faith in what we know has already happened. So we are more blessed because we have the full knowledge of the gospel. Secondly, we are more blessed because we have the completed word of God. Old Testament believers had the Old Testament, if that. New Testament believers, they had the Old Testament, maybe some of the early New Testament letters if they could get access to it. But in this time, in the first century, normally scripture was communicated through speaking. Yet look at us today. We have the full and final word of God. We have 66 books written in our own language. We have access to it everywhere. We have it on our phones. We have endless resources and studies to help us understand this book. We have the whole story. Man, we're blessed. Third, we're more blessed than the prophets because we have the Holy Spirit in us. And this is something we absolutely take for granted. The Old Testament prophets, they had the Holy Spirit in them when they prophesied, but it seems that they were the only ones. Yet if you follow Jesus, the Bible says you have the fullness of the Holy Spirit living in you. The same power that Jesus had living in him, the Spirit of Christ, it's inside of us. Man, these people in the Old Testament, they could only have dreamed of that. Ezekiel and Jeremiah both prophesied of the day when God would put his Spirit in his people. And here we are. We are living in that day. That's how blessed we are. And lastly, we are more blessed because of the access we have to God. I have been reading through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, and man, I was reminded of how limited access to God was in the Old Testament. Moses had to climb up a mountain to meet with God. And God tells him, says, Moses, if you see me, you will die. He tells him the people of Israel, they had to stand far back. If they even touched the base of the mountain, they'd be put to death. Even when they built the tabernacle and God came to live in their midst, there was a room in the middle called the Holy of Holies. They had the veil and right there separating the people. And only one guy, the high priest, could enter that room once a year. And there were all these sacrifices and rituals and cleansings that had to be done in order for that priest to go in. But see, now that Christ has come, here's what Hebrews 4:16 says. It's crazy. It says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Did you catch that? We have access to the throne of grace. We can enter in, and here's the key word, with confidence. There's no rituals, no sacrifices, no priest necessary because Jesus is our great high priest and he's the ultimate sacrifice that made a way. Think about that. The simple fact that right now, as sinners, we can come before a holy God in prayer, and he actually hears us and delights in answering us. What an incredible blessing that is. We are more blessed than the prophets, and it's all because of Jesus. It's because of the gospel. And that's what Peter says at the end of verse 12. He says, the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. This is what it means to be truly blessed. It's to have heard and received the gospel. Verse 12 tells us that message came to us by the Holy Spirit. So the same Spirit that spoke to Daniel and Isaiah and Ezekiel is the same Spirit that spoke to you when you heard the gospel. That means if you know the good news about Jesus, if you believe in that, you are incredibly blessed. But Peter adds one more thing at the end of verse 12, and this one really blows my mind. Look at the very end, that last phrase. He says, these are the things into which angels long to look. So not only are you more blessed than the prophets, but second, followers of Jesus are more blessed than the angels. What are these things that angels long to look? Well, if we go back, we see it's the good news that's been preached to us and received by us. It's the gospel of Jesus. Well, don't angels know the gospel? I mean, they're heavenly beings. Surely they know about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. No, that's not the point. Of course, the angels know the gospel, but they do not know the gospel as we do. They have not experienced God's saving grace through Jesus. They have not experienced the gospel like we have in a personal, life-altering way. Therefore, it says they look at us with longing. That word longing means to intently desire something. One commentator I read, he said the angels look on us with a holy curiosity. They're amazed. They're fascinated because we're more blessed than them. But really? Is that true? Angels get to be with God in heaven and worship Him. They get to work for God and do all this cool stuff. You're telling me that we are more blessed than them? That's exactly what I'm telling you. Here's why. God did not send His Son to die for the angels. Jesus was not beaten with a whip, spit on, and nailed to a cross for the angels. No, He did that for you. And think about it this way. If I were to tell you, hey, next Sunday morning, it's really going to be an exciting week. We're going to have a special guest speaker with us. We're actually going to have an angel preach the sermon. Worship better be good, man. No, we're going to have an angel here live and in person. How many of you guys would be like, whoa, I'm going to be here next week? There'd be people we ain't seen in years lined up out these doors to see an angel. But really, it's the opposite. We should not be longing to see the angels because they're longing to see us. I mean, they're marveling at what we have in Christ. Angelic beings look at your life and they say, man, what must it be like for God to save you like that? We're more blessed than the angels. And this all sounds nice and good. This is one of those messages, you hear it and you're like, oh, that's nice. But what does it really mean? How should this truth impact our lives? Well, first off, if you have never made the decision to give your life to Jesus, you are missing out on the greatest blessing available to you. You might make a lot of money. You might not drive a nice car. You might have a great family and great kids. You might live a long time and be healthy and successful. But the only way to be truly blessed is by knowing Jesus. Trust in Him and find the greatest blessing of all. And secondly, if you've made the decision to give your life to Jesus, if you've already done that, do you really understand that you're more blessed than the prophets and the angels? And do you really get it, how blessed you are to have Jesus? Because, man, I know there's been times in my life when I've forgotten that. There's been times in my life where I've been bored with the gospel. I would hear another message about Jesus, and I'm like, yeah, I know. I get it. I did that. I heard that. And I wasn't excited to go to church. It was just something, you know, I had to do, and I didn't want to spend time in the Word. I didn't feel like praying. I didn't want to share my faith. I had forgotten how blessed I was and had become bored like a spoiled child. But here's what I discovered. If you're bored with the gospel, the problem is not with the gospel. It means you're taking the gospel for granted. And this happens to us with many things. I mean, just think about with food. Think how blessed we are to have food while people around the world die of starvation, work really hard just to get their next meal. We have supermarkets and restaurants on every corner. We forget how blessed we are to have this abundant feast of food. And we do the same thing with the gospel, with Jesus. So what do? If we forget the blessing of the gospel, if we take for granted what we have in Christ, what is our solution? Well, the solution is simple. It's to believe in the gospel again. It's to go back to that simple truth, to the original message that first stirred your heart to Jesus. And to remember, Man, we need to be reminded daily, regularly, just how blessed we are in Christ. We are living in the greatest time in the history of the world. You wouldn't believe that. Watch the news. But the prophets foretold of this day. They longed to see it. They were serving us with this message. The angels are looking on us with wonder when they see the grace that God has poured out on us to be saved by Jesus. To know Christ is the greatest blessing possible. We of all people are incredibly blessed. Do you believe it? And do you live like it? Let me invite you to bow your head right now.